This reading will be from Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
I really appreciate the opportunity to come and share this morning. I didn't tell Donnie when I put my hand up, but it's been 20 years since I've actually done kind of like this kind of sermon-y thing. It was back when I was in Bible college, which, was 20 years ago. I feel really old now. But before I did put my hand up, I really sat with God. And I know that it always works so much better when it's his idea rather than mine. And I asked him to give me a theme or a word. And straight away, I just knew that the word that was in my head was something that he really wanted me to share about. So I am going to share some thoughts and Bible passages around that topic this morning. But first of all, I'm going to give you a little bit of a quiz. And with any good quiz, there's prizes. I have my little helper with some prizes. Yes, she looks excited. Just so if you can see what I might be talking about. So clue one is Jesus did it, which narrows it down a little bit. If done properly, it can improve your memory, concentration, productivity and motivation. It can even make you happier. So next slide. It slows, I like the bottom one, helps with weight management. I'm like, yes, I want that. I also want it to slow down the aging process, increase your tolerance to pain, improve your sleep, boost your immune system, decrease the risk of heart disease. Does anybody have any ideas? Remember, Jesus did it. Just saying. Yes. Prayer? Well, that's a really good option, but it's not what I was going for. Walking? Well, Jesus did that too. He did a lot of that. No.
Meditation?
Getting there. Kind of close. Warm? Oh, that's a really good one, but no. No. Rest. Are you sitting next to your dad? Okay, give the girl a prize. There you go. Well done. I think she might have got a little bit of hint.
Shannon, I gave her a hint.
Did you? Did you say rest?
No.
Well, there you go. So you have to ask yourself, though, right, with qualities like that, why do so many of us fail to practice it on such a regular basis? And I say us, not just Donnie, because it is something that I really personally struggle with. I like to be busy and I'm not very good at saying no to things. And you put that together with a husband who's studying and three busy girls, and I find that sometimes my timetable just doesn't really lend itself well to taking time to rest. And they say that sometimes the best way to learn something is to pass the information on to others. So I'm pretty sure this message this morning is for me just as much as anybody else. But I'm really hoping that it does speak to somebody else as well. So rest, where do we start? Well, like Sister Maria says, we start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. And we're going to start in Genesis 1, but maybe not the very beginning, because we're going to read from verse 31. So I've just popped the Bible verses up on the screen. I've got them on my screen here, but I want you to know they have come directly from the Bible. I didn't make them up. And we're going to read to chapter 2, verse 3. So verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day God had finished his work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, creating the world was a pretty big job. He'd done mountains, he'd done trees, he'd done light and animals and humans, but the Bible doesn't say that God needed a rest. And I think we can safely assume it wasn't because he was weary. In fact, Eli read a fantastic Bible passage and did such a wonderful job that tells us that God doesn't faint or grow weary. And Psalm 121 says that he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So you have to ask yourselves, why in fact did God rest? I believe that he rested to set an example for us, to show us the rhythm of work and rest. He created with power and wisdom all things in 6 days, but on the seventh day he declared a rest. And when he's handing out the Ten Commandments, he actually cites himself as an example. So I'm just going to briefly read Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now just put a sticky note on that in your mind, because we're actually going to talk a little bit more about Sabbath rest a little bit later on. But I think what is really important to note out of this passage is that God is very serious about rest. He is our creator and he knows how we function best. He has created us with limitations. And because he's created us with limitations, I don't believe he asks more of us than we're actually able to give. And I actually think that it's within our best interest to observe those limitations and maybe even embrace them. Because you see, it's in our weakness that his strength prevails. And that passage in Isaiah just paints a wonderful picture for you. So we'll just pop it back up here on the screen in case you need to refresh our memories. So this passage provides a really wonderful image of an almighty God who never grows tired or weary. But in comparison, it holds a mirror up to our humanity and up to our frailness and says that even youths who are in their prime will grow weary, which doesn't leave much hope for some of us who aren't in their prime. Hey, Bruce. But then the two pictures are brought together in an amazing divine exchange where the strength of our Creator is actually poured into his creation. And where in our weakness, he makes us, gives us the strength to be able to soar like eagles. And when does it say that God will pour into us? When we wait on him. Not in our serving, not in our working, but in the stopping, in the stillness, and in the rest. But stopping and resting isn't something that necessarily comes easy. And I know for me it certainly doesn't. As my to-do list just gets longer, I find myself just setting the alarm a little bit earlier because that just makes perfect sense. And working longer hours, bringing work home, and just trying to do all I can to cram more activity into a 24-hour period. Our world just seems to get busier and busier. Increased productivity seems to be the catch cry of the day. And now with phones and internet and even smartwatches, we're actually contactable 24/7, which actually hasn't created a society that practices rest on a daily basis. Some journalists have even described our culture as being in an exhaustion epidemic. And it's not only the pressures from the outside that lead to this kind of hyperactive lifestyle. Often it's the pressures from within. Some of us wear busyness as a crown. We seem to think it makes us important or even gives us significance. And you would think as Christians that we would know that our significance comes from our Creator. But sadly, as Christians and Christian ministries, we not only subscribe to the addiction to busyness, but sometimes we can even tend to add in that old Protestant work ethic that somehow equates hard work with godliness. And some of us even convince ourselves that it is in some way honourable to exhaust ourselves for the extension of God's kingdom. But if anybody in all of history had growth of the kingdom as their job description, then it was Jesus. But throughout all the Gospels, I don't see a picture of Jesus being a kind of guy who seems to be hurried or harried. Although he was in very nature God, he'd humbled himself to be a man, and in his humanness, we are told that he grew weary. There are a number of examples in the New Testament where Jesus sought rest. One of those examples can be found in John 4. Here, Jesus has left Judea and is heading back to Galilee. And with the disciples, their journey takes them through Samaria, where the disciples go ahead and go into town, into Sychar, to buy food. And Jesus parks himself at Jacob's well. And I'm sure many of you know what happens next. A Samaritan woman comes up and Jesus engages into a conversation with her. She gets him some water and he dissects her love life. But what I find really interesting in that whole story is a portion of the sentence in verse 6, and it says, Jesus, tired from the journey, sat down by the well. And I have to admit, sometimes when I think of Jesus just sitting on the side of the well taking a break, it does kind of make me feel like a little impatient, like maybe he could be spending that time doing better things, you know, doing miracles or saving people. Yet you don't see Jesus operating out of a fear that there was too much to do in too little time. Because he was able to trust his heavenly Father with his earthly mission, Jesus operated, worked, and served from a place of rest. I personally feel that sometimes I operate in exactly the opposite position. I feel like I operate out of a place of anxiety, just feeling like I never have time to do everything that I want to do, and never feeling like I have time to stop. I was recently reading a book by a guy by the name of Tony Horsfall. It seems like quite an unfortunate name, but he wrote a book called Working from a Place of Rest. And he has this to say. To sit and relax, we must be able to trust God with our workload. It requires faith to stop in the midst of a heavy schedule, but we must be willing to do so if we are to wait upon God and draw our strength from him. In order to work from a place of rest, we must, like Jesus, practice the discipline of stopping. We must shed the feeling that we always have to be on the go, making the most of the time, doing as much as possible. We need to give ourselves permission to slow down and breathe more deeply. To rest in the midst of our busyness actually declares the sovereignty of God. It says, I trust you enough to stop. I'm going to take the meagre loaves and fishes that I have and I'm going to give them back to you, and you can multiply them to do everything that needs to be done. We need to trust God enough to stop and rest, because that is the way he's created us, because that's what Jesus did, and also because that's what he invites us to do. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says these words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I really like the message paraphrase. So I'm just going to read verses 28 and 30. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything on you, heavy or ill-fitting. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Come to me. No matter which translation of the Bible you use, you'd be really hard-pressed to find a different word at the beginning of verse 28. Come. And I actually looked this word up in the Greek, and it's douta, which I'm not quite sure if I say that properly, but apparently nobody speaks Greek anymore, so it doesn't really matter. So douta, which means come hither, come. It's an exclamation word, so it's like come with an exclamation mark on the end. And if I can take you back to grade 3 grammar, you'll remember that a verb is a doing word. Excellent. So the whole idea of resting may seem quite passive, but this invitation certainly isn't, because it takes action on behalf of the invited. Jesus promises us rest, deep, restorative rest. But first of all, we have to go to him. We must choose to come. So let's take a look at a biblical example of someone who literally chose to go to Jesus and sit at his feet. Luke chapter 10 finds us in the home of Martha. Jesus and his disciples were out walking. Somebody said that as an answer. They did do a lot of walking. And they stop at the house of some friends. Now, Luke doesn't go into an awful lot of detail, but you have to get the picture of Martha of being a little bit of a tasky type. And so I did a little bit of research and found out that a lot of commentators believe that she was probably the firstborn. Not that all firstborns are bossy. Love you. She looked at me straight away. Love you. But she clearly had lots to do, and she was getting frustrated at her presumably younger sister who was sitting there resting at the feet of Jesus. And you have to think that when she says something to Jesus about it, you half expect that she's thinking that Jesus will turn around to say, Mary, get off your butt and help your sister. But that's really not what Jesus does. What does he do? He says, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary chose to stop and rest, and Jesus applauded her for it. Now, being a Martha-type personality, not bossy, but productive, I do sometimes feel a little bit sorry for Martha, like she got the raw end of the deal, because she's running around doing things, and yet Jesus commends her younger sister. But rather than take this as a rebuke, I really think that we need to take it as a gift. Because while the world says, be all that you can be, God gives us permission to be still and know that he is God. And this is the same gift that he gave to the Israelites when he handed down the Ten Commandments. So if we go back to the sticky note in your head, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. So you have to remember that when God gave out this commandment, the Israelites had been living in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. They didn't either have the opportunity or the permission to stop and rest. But when God calls them out of Egypt and into the promised land, he affirms that they are his children and instructed them how to live according to the way that he created them. They were called to keep a Sabbath so that they could stop and enter in to the rest of God. And in Mark 2:27, when Jesus says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, he affirms that under the new covenant, the Sabbath principle is a gift from God for our own well-being. Rather than tie us up in legalistic bondage of what we can or can't do on a certain day, I believe it actually gives us the freedom to stop regularly and enjoy a period of rest and renewal. And I believe that in that freedom, we get to decide how, not if, we actually enjoy that rest, so it fits with our life stage and personal dispositions. So that means that your Sabbath rest might look completely different to somebody else's Sabbath rest. I personally love to lay down for a nap on a Sunday afternoon after church, have a bubble bath, maybe do some gardening, and then make sure we've got leftovers for dinner. I've got a friend, and on a Saturday afternoon, she frequently lays down for a couple of hours and reads while her husband and sons watch football. Then they go to a Saturday night service and go out for dinner. There are a number of different ideas that people have suggested around the idea of Sabbath rest, but all of them include four different principles that I'm going to pop up there. Well, I didn't pop it up there as well. The awesome sound and data guys did. Thank you. So they all involve these four different things: stopping, resting, doing something that brings you joy, and spending time with God. Because we can read and sleep as much as we like, but in order for rest to be truly restorative, I believe we really need to connect with our Creator and plug in to our ultimate power source, God. But we need not wait for this Sabbath-type rest to plug in to God. Rather, I think that we could all benefit for slotting in Sabbath moments in our everyday life, grabbing those small windows of time where we might instead be tempted to grab our phones and spend that time in communion with our Heavenly Father. It might be while you're waiting for an appointment, or while you're walking to your car, or while you're waiting in your car for your kids to finish their appointments. It might be in the shower, or it might even actually be on the toilet, because I know as a young mum, that was one of the only times I ever got time to myself, and that was only because I locked the door. But you can either just read your Bible, you might meditate on a word, you might pray, or you might actually just take that opportunity to sit and rest in the presence of the Lord. However we choose to do it, the fact remains that we need to choose to rest, because that is the way that God has created us, because Jesus did it, and because he invites us to. In closing this morning, I'd just like to share a bit of a personal story of a time where God really spoke into my heart about the gift of rest. About 2 years ago, I was crossing the street and I literally fell over and tripped on a curb and face planted on the road, which wasn't very graceful, and it hurt. I also broke a bone in my foot. And this was a bone that I didn't really even know that I had, wouldn't have even known what its name was until I realised that I couldn't walk without it. Not only couldn't I walk, but I also found it difficult to stand for any length of time. So for a period of about 6 weeks, simple tasks like making dinner, hanging out the washing, having a shower, they became a real production. About 2 weeks into this forced rest period, Maff had a day of prayer. And to be honest, I was feeling a bit sorry for myself and still in a bit of pain, and I told Dan that I wasn't going to go. But he encouraged me to come along even just for the morning. And I sat there on the morning, and one of the engineers got up to share about a bird that he'd seen that morning while he was having breakfast. And straight away that got my attention, because I don't know if you know many engineers, but not very many of them are ones to go bird watching. So straight away I was paying attention. And he said that he had watched this little sparrow fly up and slam against a window and drop to the ground and lay there for a full 2 minutes. Just when he thought that he was maybe going to have to get up and pop it in a shoebox and bury it in the backyard, this little sparrow got up and flapped its wings and took off again. He drew the analogy that sometimes it isn't until we're slammed into a wall that we actually take the opportunity to stop and rest. And as he finished the story, I felt like I had tears on my cheeks, because I really felt like he had told that story just for me. I really felt God whisper into my heart, "You'll soon be up, flittering and flying around again, but for now, take the opportunity to stop and rest in my presence." And that invitation exists for each and every one of us today. I'd like to encourage you not to wait until you're slammed into a window or a wall, or don't wait until you've broken something, whether it be a bone, your mental health, or a relationship. We need to choose to surrender our to-do list to God and trust him enough to stop and rest. We need to accept Jesus' invitation to come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Lord, we just really want to thank you that you created us, and you created us in a way that you know how we work best. You know what we need. You know how we serve you best. Lord, can you just help us to surrender to you? In those busy moments, in those hectic lifestyles, can you help us and teach us to walk with you and to look at how you did it so that we might be able to imitate you and learn those unforced rhythms of grace? Lord, would you help us love ourselves enough to step into that rest that you so freely give us? In your name we pray. Amen.